Sorry.
Okay, so we're trying to get a better understanding of these five Rabbanim who were in Bnei Brak. Yesterday I spoke about Rabbi Yeshua. Today I want to speak a little bit about Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen, and he had traced his family lineage back to Ezra HaSofer, which is going back about 450 years. He was also a Kohen. And he was also a Talmud of Yochanan ben Zakkai. He and Rabbi Akiva, he really was a Talmud, he was a Rebbe Chaver of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's two Rebbeim were Rabbi Elezer ben Horkanis and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Tarfon was another one of Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim, but they had a different type of relationship. Rabbi Akiva was more of a Talmud Chaver. And there was a lot of machloksim. Most of the machloksim we have in the Mishnah are between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. So he really wasn't a Talmud. He really wasn't the Rebbe. He was more of a Rebbe Chaver. He was very wealthy. Remember we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani was very poor. Rabbi Tarfon was wealthy. And again, this is going to sound strange in our culture, but in that culture it was appropriate. During the famine, presumably the famine around the fall of Yerushalayim, he married 300 women. Now, why would marrying 300 women change the game? Because there was a lot of truma food available. There wasn't regular chulin food available. So if these women were married to him as a kohen, then they'd be able to eat truma. So this is a way of trying to solve some of the poverty. Obviously, he didn't live with 300 women. He just legally married them so they should be able to eat his truma. There's also a story where Rabbi Akiva once asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Tarfon, should I go and purchase some land for you? And Rabbi Tarfon was very wealthy, gave him a lot of money. And Rabbi Akiva went out and gave all the money, distributed it for tzedakah. And then Rabbi Tarfon came and said, show me the lands you purchased. And Rabbi Akiva took him to the Beis Medrash and showed him all the Talmidei Chachamim that his tzedakah had purchased. And Rabbi Tarfon kissed him on his forehead and said, obviously, this is a better purchase than any other purchase that that you would have made on my behalf. Rabbi Tarfon was very active in Pidgin HaBen, obviously as a Kohen, so people would use him to Pidgin HaBen. He gave back the slime, he gave back the money, which today is appropriate and polite, but in those days, evidently, it wasn't so accepted. Okay. He was a Kohen who had lived through the end of the Beis HaMikdash, so he had certain eyewitness testimonies that he delivered to the Chachamim in Bavel, or at least in Eretz Yisrael up north, that they hadn't witnessed themselves. Possibly the most famous eyewitness account is he relates to everyone how the name of Hashem was said on Yom Kippur. So when we say on Yom Kippur, Va'koanim va'am she'yishomim esa she'em ha'nichbad v'hanarab mefurash yotzim epi kohen gadol, it's based on Reb Tarfon's testimony. He also testified that Ba'alei Mumim, Kohanim Ba'alei Mumim, can continue to work Avoda if they didn't know they were Ba'alei Mumim when they started the Avoda is still kosher. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Samech Vav. So there's some very important testimonies that he provided about the Beis HaMikdash that other people would not have been aware of because he was an insider to the Beis HaMikdash. I just want to quote three famous machloksin, or three famous shitas of Reb Tarfon. One is they gathered in Lod. Lod was Reb Tarfon's town, and they gathered in an attic in Lod, presumably because they had to hide from the Romans. And they gathered in this attic and they had a big, famous theological debate. What's superior, studying Torah or performing mitzvahs? Gadol Talmud, Sha Talmud, Mevi L'dei Maisa. It's not clear from that statement. Is Talmud better than mitzvahs? Is mitzvahs better? So Reb Tarfon said, Maisa is more important, mitzvahs are more important. Some of the other Talmid Chachamim said, learning Torah is more important. A very interesting question. How do you allocate priority? The second Gemara talks about, well, we just read this Gemara a few weeks ago in Daf Yomi. In Halacha, Ona, you're allowed to take up to a sixth profit, approximately 16.5%. More than 16.5%, then the sale is voided. It's an Isser of Ona. Reb Tarfon Paskind in Lod that you can take up to a third. So the profit margin could be 33%, and all the storekeepers and shopkeepers and businessmen in Lod were very happy because now they had a windfall. They can gain 33%, not 16.5%. But then Reb Tarfon extended the period by which you could void the loan. There's also a limited window after which you can't void an incorrect sale. Basically, as long as it takes for you to show your friends and your acquaintances afterwards, if you pass that time, you can't void the sale. But Reb Tarfon said you can void the sale forever. And therefore, they weren't so happy, because he increased their profit potential, but he also increased the window by which you could retrieve the loan. So that was a famous sheet of Reb Tarfon. Another interesting halacha of Reb Tarfon, not really halacha, is that when he was sick, the Chacham came to visit him, and his mother was being very prideful about how Reb Tarfon was mechayim the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. And then the Chacham said, as successful as he's been, as extensive as he's been, he still hasn't performed half the mitzvah. And what was the famous legendary story? Evidently, once his mother was walking on Shabbos, and her shoe got ruined. She couldn't walk anymore, so Reb Tarfon would bend over on each step as his mother was advancing and let his mother step on his back to cushion the blow so that his mother shouldn't have to step on the ground. And evidently, that wasn't even 50% of the level of Kibud Av V'Aim. I'll just mention another machlokas. It's very technical, but it's very central. One of the most basic forms by which we interpret the Torah is called Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is basically calculus. You take two halachos, you compare them. If one halacha is less severe than the other halacha, then whatever halacha is applied to the more severe should apply to the less severe. So if halacha A is kal and halacha B is chomer, so if there are stringencies that apply to B, they should certainly apply to A by basic calculus. You're always measuring halachos. How do you measure halachos is fascinating. Based on the onesh, based on how many surim there are, based on who's involved, based on whether there are any heterim. There are about 10 different parameters as to how to judge which is kal, which is chomer. So you can make a kal v'chomer, you can take a halacha from a chomer to a kal, but how far can you extend it? So that's called the machlokas of dayo. When you apply a kal v'chomer, do you just transfer the halachos from the chomer to the kal? Or you transfer the halachos from the chomer to the kal, and then you can even change the halachos when you've transferred them. So Tarfon is a very important sheet in dayo. Put it this way, he's much more flexible with allowing, well, he's much more post, dayo menadin lios kinidon. He says that you're, I forgot it, it's a very technical machlokas, but it's a very famous conversation about where the parameters of dayo can apply. So this is a Tarfon, Talmud Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If I'm not mistaken, I didn't get a chance to check it last night, his nickname was Gal Shel Agozim. What does it mean, Gal Shel Agozim? His nickname was a pile of nuts. What does it mean, a pile of nuts? Two deos and two yourselves. One is a Gal Shel Agozim, one is a Gal Shel Avanim. It's not clear whether a pile of nuts or a pile of stones. It doesn't make a difference. You take out one stone or one nut from the pile, everything comes falling out. And so he was very associative. He'd say halacha, and then he'd remember a Mishnah, then he'd remember a Gemara, then he'd remember a Medrash. It was very stream of consciousness, as opposed to some of the other Talmid Chacham, like Rabbi Akiva, was much more organized. So how do you learn Torah? Do you learn Torah very, very organized and segmented and partitioned? Or you let yourself freestyle and you think about one halacha and that jogs your imagination about another halacha and you think about a third halacha? So Tarfon had that capacity to be very free and associative to go from one topic to another topic. Chag Sameach, everyone.